from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
And Joey hits this ball hard to center field. Back goes Jazz Chisholm Jr. He will not get the bounces off the fence. Joey's got a homer followed by a triple. He's going for the cycle in reverse.
It allows Joey three bags.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Blum. And OTK, Space Home Network, as the Astros, they get a big W. As I said, hey, Joey, with Jake Bloss pitching tonight, you want to win this series, right? Like, you know, you want to keep pace with the Mariners, who won again yesterday in San Diego, so they remain two games back, but you want to keep pace there. And when you got the Marlins, man, the worst thing is to lose the series, right? They've done enough to get to a space where they're two games back. Just win series now, as you know, you got the Mariners coming up as soon as the break ends. But a big one tonight to get behind Framber, and I think there are two major stories coming out of this. The first one is Framber, and his up and down nature, really since, you know, a part of the second half last year has been up and down. We got good Framber last night, but against a poor team. The hope is, do we continue to see him string together starts where he is consistent and he could be somebody they can depend on with everything happening around him, including, you know, the injury to Justin Verlander?
Yeah, poor team is putting it lightly. The Marlins are really bad, and they were really bad in last night's game. Framber's had he's been fine in the first half. I think the way you put it is correct. We're, like, really going back to the All-Star break last year, he hasn't been...
A tid better than fine, because that's we put Jake Myers... is fine.
Okay. Well, he's been acceptable for Framber Valdez,
but not to the level of
he's not going to, like, he's been an all-star the last 2 years. He's not an all-star this year. He has not pitched at that level, and I think that is what they are hoping for the second half, that he can start to string together quality start after quality start after quality start, eat up innings, and put them in position.
You cover this team, and you have for years. What? How does somebody go from the most consistent? You can't get more consistent than 25, 26 consecutive. Hey, man, every time he rolls out, you know you're getting at least six innings, three runs or less, if not better. How can that person? And it was that way, as you said, he was an all-star last year. The first half last year, he was pitching towards that.
He was a Cy Young front runner this time last year.
Yes. I distinctly remember a Saturday game in the first half going to the All-Star break against Seattle where he just sliced them up. And it seems like since then, man, that guy that was so consistent has you crossing your fingers on what the hell you going to get. It is really interesting to me how that turned so quickly for him, a person so consistent to being anything but.
Some of it is between the ears. You know, some of it when things aren't going his way, he has trouble getting it back together. Some of it has just been command, where he's gotten way too much of the plate and he'll get hit hard. Some of it is just defensively, they aren't as good as they have been in the past. And he's the type of guy where you're going to put the ball in play against him. And when that happens, you have to have the seven guys behind you making plays. And that hasn't always been the case the last year and a half. So there are little things, but I think overall the stuff has been fine. When guys are struggling and when they're maybe inconsistent, maybe you start looking at the stuff, but his velocity has almost been up, which is not necessarily
almost too much.
Yeah, that's not what you want. Yeah, that's so you almost don't want the velocity to be there. But I think his ceiling is still higher than any other starting pitcher that they have, and he's the one starting pitcher that I think you really trust from now until the end of the season.
That's the part, when you say his ceiling, that's the part where he really frustrates me, and I know Tyler's heard me say it. It's as if he doesn't know that his stuff is as good as it is. Like, he will not attack guys. Like, when you go and watch Verlander when he's on, hell, Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown here of late when he's on, They are attacking guys. And you said he can come anywhere from 92 to 97. He's got a devastating breaking ball when he is on. But a lot of times when you start to see him get in trouble and you say between the ears, he is nibbling. He is trying to hit the edges and not just attacking and aiming instead of just, I got this and come hit it and hit this great stuff that I have. That's where he loses me, where we start to see him, I think, run into trouble.
I think sometimes he pitches for strikeouts. And I don't think
that's interesting.
And I don't think he needs to do that. Like, when his velocity is up, a lot of times he's trying to get strikeouts. And then so what happens? You lose your command once you're doing that. And then all of a sudden you're giving up homers or you're giving up line drives. Like, down in the zone, you know, you can certainly pitch, you know, you can pitch the contact to a certain degree and attack the zone that way, but get your ground balls. And that's what he did last night. Like, he got, I think, three or four double plays last night. Like, you can give up hits, but if you're getting double plays right after that, then who cares if you're giving up hits? So
I think
sometimes when he starts worrying about strikeouts too much, that's when he gets in trouble.
Yeah, I guess, sir, someone on the text line to you, he doesn't have Maldonado on his ass this year too. You think there's anything to that?
I do think there is something to that. And if you remember, it was Yiner Diaz catching him early in the year. And then he had that one start where all of a sudden he deviated off the game plan with Diaz. And then it was Caratini catching him for the most part.
No,
and
what?
Then Caratini got hurt. Salazar caught him once, but it's been Diaz now these last couple of starts. And I think that for Framber to have good results with Diaz, I think that's an important step, because obviously you want Diaz catching Framber as much as possible. So I do think there's something, because Maldonado had a way of keeping guys in line. Maldonado had the respect of every pitcher on that staff. Losing him has hurt them to a certain degree, but I do think that you're starting to see Diaz start to figure it out.
Yeah. So that is the latest there as a big start from Framber Valdez. The other story in last night's game, and to me, whenever your best player comes out of the game early, I think it's a big story, and especially when your best player has had injury concerns in history, as Yordan Alvarez has had. I didn't even watch it because I don't have the ability to, but I saw it come across. I said, oh God, here is how it sounded play by play from Todd Callis and Jeff Blum last night.
We've got a report on Yordan.
How about it?
Unless Boone's is just making it up on his own.
He can.
Hip tightness.
Okay.
So his hip.
All right.
A little tight, and he will be in there the rest of the way. But hopefully it's something that, as you said, A, precautionary, and B, minor.
Well, we should be encouraged. It's not discomfort.
Is tightness better than discomfort?
I'm guessing.
Those two guys.
I love them.
Listen, they have. I would have lost this bet. And hopefully it stays this way, Adam. But they've avoided having any kind of significant time missed by Yordan Alvarez, which you can almost always pencil. Hey, he going to get a stint. He going to get at least one IL stint. And he hasn't missed many games. Hopefully this is nothing, but he, because he was starting, especially when they were leaving Toronto, that Toronto series, he was starting to look like, uh-oh, he's about to be that MVP-type guy that we know is in there at the plate. But this is one to look around, just based off you being at the game, seeing things, and covering this team, Adam. Is this something that you think is minor, or is this something that is in any way concerning in terms of time missed?
So what they said last night, and this is Espada, and then we didn't talk to Alvarez, but Alvarez kind of gave a statement through a team spokesman where he didn't think that it was anything serious. They weren't even like going to have him undergo tests or anything like that, at least as of last night. They didn't. That's how unserious they thought this was. And the fact that it is 3:08 and I have not seen a lineup posted means that it seems like there's a good chance that he's playing tonight. Like, if they would have put out a lineup at the normal time at 3:00 and he wasn't in there, okay, well then maybe you start to think. But I think obviously they don't have a lineup out yet because I think they want to see how he feels.
I was going to say, does that mean they're waiting on him?
Yeah, you I think 100% they are waiting on him just to see how he feels. We do have a little bit of Astro injury news. I don't know. I don't want to interrupt.
Kyle Tucker?
Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, go
Kyle ahead. Tucker is playing catch on the field right now at Minute Maid Park, and this is the first time. It's the first time that he has done anything on the field since he got hurt June 3rd.
Kyle Tucker!
It feels huge.
Is he playing catch with Justin Verlander, and is there more conviction behind the type of catch that Verlander and Kyle Tucker are they playing?
What is that conviction level?
I want to know who he's playing catch. Gary Pettis, get away. Let's get JV in there 3 days in a row, and let's get a level of conviction on that. Wow. Okay. Well, that's good news.
It's good news.
They feel a step. I do think it's something, Adam, where they feel comfortable with him being seen.
Yes. He's not like
that had to be a part of it. They didn't want him to be seen.
Everything that he has done since June 3rd has been away from the cameras, away from the media. It's been in the cage. It's been in the trainer's room. So this is the first time that he is out in the open. Now he's playing catch on the field. He's been throwing he's been throwing a lot since he's been hurt. I want to see him run on the field. That's what I need to see. I need to see him running on the field because I don't know if he's able to do that yet.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the one thing. Are you surprised how long this has taken? I know for us on this well, like, it's hard to think there was, and we've discussed it, that there wasn't at least some sort of a hairline fracture, something. This has got to be the deepest bone bruise. We still haven't seen him run on the field.
I've seen him walk in the clubhouse.
How's that
quite
look?
A bit. It doesn't look great.
Even last night.
Hold on.
Bring the music down. Bring the damn music down right now. Hold on.
Doesn't look great.
I need to take my headphones out. I want to hear this in my real ears. Like, as late as how? Like the last time that he, when you're saying doesn't look good, how long ago was this?
Last night?
Right, well, don't leave.
Last night. Like,
damn.
Like, when you say, let me say this. When you say last night, By judging by his walk, because a part of me thought was, hey, All-Star break is coming up. Let's give him, you know, an extended week and a half, and then we'll bring. Like, do you think he could play a game tomorrow?
No.
Like unequivocally, you're not. No. Like, you don't think he could play a game?
No.
Did he look like somebody who could play a game next week?
Probably not.
What in the hell happened to him? Did he actually use? Was it a hammer? Did he actually
shatter
his
shin?
All I know is, wow, when it happened, I was there that night. When it happened, I thought he broke his leg. And
that Jermaine died?
Yes, he stayed down on the ground a long time after it happened, and then he got up and he wanted to stay in the game.
He wanted to stay in. I remember.
And so what happened was, he walked to the on deck circle. And he kind of, you know, did whatever he did with his bat. And then he tried to jog to the batter's box to continue in the at bat. And he shut it down right away. And seeing him in the clubhouse after the game on crutches, could barely walk with the crutches. Like, it was bad. Like, listen, I'm not saying that he broke his leg, but that was it. That's as deep a bone bruise as I think I've ever seen.
In history.
Yes.
By the way, Jordan is not in the lineup today. We'll see the rest of it according to Chandler Rome. Jordan is not in the Astros lineup after exiting yesterday's game.
It's not ideal.
With a hip issue.
Not a big surprise.
Yeah, probably nothing.
But this is a guy who, he's only missed four games this season. He's only missed back-to-back games once this season. And so obviously they'll be careful with him, but it kind of goes to show you they don't have a lot of depth. And they've this is a long stretch without Kyle Tucker. And now whenever you have to lose two of those guys, two of those top four, man, that lineup is not nearly as formidable.
Well, here's the lineup. And you say not nearly as formidable. Let's hear it. Spoiler alert, John Singleton is hitting cleanup.
Someone's got to.
Altuve leads off Bregman.
Solid top two.
Moving in the three spot is Yiner Diaz. He is DHing tonight. So Salazar is somewhere in here. Singleton, as I said, is hitting cleanup. Pena is hitting fifth. Behind him, Joey Loperfido. And then in center field, Jake Myers, the defensive specialist. Jake Myers is in center field. In right field, Cabbage is in the game. And Salazar,
you gotta stop.
Salazar is the catcher. Specialist. And no one more pissed off with this lineup than making his second start and now throwing just under 67 innings, Jake Bloss. He's got... Jake Bloss never dreamed that his second start would have John Singleton hitting cleanup in it, and he's playing for the Houston Astros. So that is the lineup, and I'm sure they will go out here and beat the dog S out of the Marlins because they're that bad. But you're right. That looks like a different lineup.
I've seen better Astros lineups.
Yes. Yep. I'm with you. I just thought Dubon might be able to sneak his way into today's lineup.
Right-handed starter for them.
Yeah.
So, stacking up with the lefties.
You're right. Why not?
A lot of lefties in there.
There it is. Yep.
All their lefties.
Gotta have them in there.
One, two, four lefties in the lineup.
You're right. I got you, Cap. There you go, Captain Joe. Good to know. All right.
Big 3-3, number two.
All right, USA Basketball. This is one thing I was really hot. I was really pissed that I had no way to get to FS1 last night. Clearly you did. I had no way to get to FS1 last night. I couldn't see a highlight until really I got probably 15 minutes outside of my area where I live, and I got internet to come on my phone. But USA, they play Canada. And Canada, that's a really good team, potentially a team that I think has a great chance to medal.
Yes.
When you think about who they got, SGA over there, weird Dylan Brooks over there, Jamal Murray over there, RJ Barrett's on that team, a lot of good role players. Walker from the Timberwolves is on that team. They've got Dart is on that team from OKC. They've got some players over there, and they started out really well. Looked like Team USA was filling out some things with each other in these lineups. They went 86-72. No Kevin Durant. Anthony Edwards led the team with 13 points, but Anthony Davis, all around game, offensively and defensively, kind of carried the way. But they looked pretty good last night, 86-72.
And remember, Canada beat the U.S. at the World Cup last year.
They did.
So I do.
Only Halliburton and
Edwards played that.
Edwards and Halliburton were the only players that were still on that are on this team that were on that team.
Yeah, but I think when you look at the Olympics, it's the U.S., it's Canada, and it's probably France are probably the top three that are in this competition this year.
Yeah, so good one there. By the way, Joel Embiid, who was born in the Cameroon, Joel Embiid, who also could play for France as well.
Yes.
But Joel Embiid, who was playing for the United States, 5 points. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 12 minutes, and fouled out.
He's not used to playing.
Hold on, Doc. Hold on, Joel. Oh, man. Who fouls out of an exhibition game?
Hey, man.
In the third quarter.
FIBA refs. Minutes. You got NBA.
Trust court. The process, bro.
You can hand check in FIBA.
But I'm telling you, because I think he even like said during the game, I saw one highlight where he said, I'm trying to be physical. You can listen. These NBA players are about to see it. You can complain about NBA refs all you want. You're going to be begging for Scott Foster after like the second Olympics game. You're going to be begging for Tony Brothers. Tony B and Scott Frost and Scott Foster.
He fouled out in 12 minutes in the third quarter.
FIBA refs are rough.
By the way, you all right with Joel Embiid playing for the United States?
I'm okay with it. I understand. Like, I wish.
Catch me off guard a little bit.
I wish they wouldn't have, like, recruited him. Yeah. It's like, you either want to play for us or you don't.
Like, does Giannis have a dual citizenship? Does he want to? Like, does Luka have a dual citizenship now? Does he want to slide over here?
You know Djokovic doesn't.
No, he ain't going nowhere.
Jokic or Djokovic?
Oh, yeah.
Djokovic
is a
tennis player.
I got tennis
on the mind.
You could
have let him go with that. You knew what he was talking about.
I looked up at Wimbledon.
It was all That's Wimbledon, man. Come on. They're both jokers.
Actually, I was just thinking about the rom-com.
Come on, man. Why let that man have that? All right, Bill Barnwell, becoming one of the better minds and people who people go to when it comes to football conversations. He does great rankings. And when I say great rankings, Bill Barnwell picked the playoffs to a T last year. Who would win? Who would win the Super Bowl? He picked it all the way, damn near. He's also selected his top 32 skilled position players. So everybody around the quarterback. Wait till you hear where he has your Houston Texans rated. We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I honest to God, I really do want to get. I do want to get to this, and hopefully we do. But I just saw this, Tyler. The Pittsburgh Pirates and Paul Skeens is becoming one of the young stars in the league, and hopefully he doesn't start turning down all-star games so that he can be an ambassador for the league.
Oh my.
But he's seven innings of no-hit ball, 99 pitches, 11 strikeouts, one walk in a 1-0 game against the Brewers.
It was 11 or career high in K's.
Yes, and like 11 starts now. And they didn't run him back out there for the 8th.
Oh, I hate this.
And we were talking, like, I don't know, there was something like, now listen, there's somebody who I used to work with, shout out to Bob Fesco, who called it a disgraceful. I think now let's not get too crazy here. That's a little juice there.
Like, but, Tank call, like calling Tank the greatest.
But what did you say? Well, I don't want him to throw it. What do you want him to throw 130 pitches? Well, this is my thought though, Adam. He's at 99 pitches going to the 8th. Like, what is acceptable? Like, how many pitches? Because to me, in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, we got a no hitter. This is a chance. You don't run into these a lot. As Justin Verlander, as whoever. As Adam, look, what would be...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The amount where you're like, all right, I can't let him throw more than this. Is it 115? Is it 120? Like, what would be your stopping point?
The most he has thrown in a game this season is 107. Okay. And I guarantee you that was like pushing it. And that got
they
him
probably
through.
Wanted to go. He had one more batter.
That got him through the seventh inning was at 107. So there is no way that they are going to have him start an inning at 99. There is no way that they're going to do that. So I don't think that he will ever, like, that 107.
So 107, like 107, you think that's pushed. So what do you think is his max? Even in a situation like this, where he is through seven and he's having a magical game and they're up 1-0, right? You know yourself, I bet you would agree, and it almost played out that way, that there was nobody else, even him at 99 pitches, there was nobody else that was probably better to run back out there than him.
Yeah.
To win the game. So 90, like, you not start with 99, like, what do you think the max is? 100? You think that's where they...
It's hard also because he has never thrown more than seven innings in a start. So it's not just the pitch count, it's also the innings. Like, do you want him with going eight up and down?
How did they go, though? How did these innings go? Like,
that's also a big part of it.
Like, I wonder what the seventh looked like. Did he throw 25 pitches to get out of the seventh? I don't know. By the way, Tyler, in the eighth, when they took him out, the Brewers loaded the bases, and they got two hits in the inning.
That really makes me like, for that fan, man, I hate that.
That's my thing.
Imagine if you're at that game.
Oh, I
that's on the bucket list. That's something I have not experienced.
I would have kicked Jim Leland's ass in that dugout.
It's in Milwaukee. Game was in Milwaukee. Would you rather him get the no hitter? Rather him get the no hitter and then get hurt? Like that's what you have to kind of think about.
But stop guaranteeing that he'll get hurt if he throws 100.
But you're also not guaranteeing that he finishes the no hitter either.
No, I know, but it would have been fair, right? As soon as he gets a hit, let's go. Like I'll get you out.
You want to know how many pitches he threw in the seventh?
Don't tell. If it's under 15, I promise God, I'm gonna punch you right in the arm.
Six.
He threw six pitches in a seventh. He didn't even work hard in a seventh.
I can't believe they let him go back out for the seventh.
I wouldn't.
At 93 pitches.
He's at 93 pitches, and you let him run out the seventh. He's got 11 strikeouts. He went out there and said, here, Skip. By the way, I know I said Jim Leland. Jim Leland is the last Pittsburgh Pirates manager that I believe existed. I don't care about the others. I don't care about any of the other ones out there.
You weren't a Gene Lamont guy?
I think Clint Hurdle had a run there when he was in the playoffs. But to me, Jim Leland, him and Stan Belinda in the bullpen, that's the last of the Pittsburgh Pirates that I remember. But damn it, he's at 93 pitches in the sixth. He gets, I mean, beyond pitch efficient in the seventh.
I'm telling
you, you gotta let him run out the eighth.
I can't believe they let him go back out.
We gotta,
the
like Tyler, we gotta be on, all right. As soon as he gives up a hit, he's out. We got to be on that mark. And I mean, if we get out here and he's at 110 through eight, I got to give him a look.
I mean, because there's so many different angles to this. Like you were saying, this might
everybody's
be
everybody's not Steven Strasburger.
Well,
Strasburg.
So if you had to guess, how many starts you think this young kid's made?
I think he's had 11.
This was 11.
Yeah. So that's what. That's kind of where my mind went. Is like, man, this is a young dude just starting his career. If he's left in, he's possibly getting already his first career, you know, no hitter.
Yes.
And what kind of path does that maybe put him on for the rest of his career? You know, like, that'd be fun to watch as he gets older. Is he going to be an all-time great? How many no hitters can he rack up? You know what I mean? But that's the original thought is just, man, if I'm a fan and I'm at that game, I am pissed. I am upset.
I mean, the Astros pulled Blanco after seven no hit innings. In a start this season too, so teams don't care. Teams don't care. Either. Teams, these pitchers are dropping like flies, and teams aren't going to put themselves in positions to where you are leaving a guy out there for 120 pitches.
It's also the player, right? Like they're like this. This could be one of the big stars of baseball moving forward, and I think that's what Tyler is talking about as well as a fan. And when you get to the ballpark to see stuff you've never seen before, and this. just let it. I mean, if you're going to send him out there 93 in the sixth and he gets out in six pitches, I mean, let's just see what the eighth looks like. Come on, baby. See what the eighth.
And then 2 days later, he has to shut down his bullpen because he
feels a little twinge in the elbow. Not Lance McCullers.
Feels a little twinge
like,
in that elbow.
And to me, when you say that, I just don't, I don't know. Like,
but
you know,
it also,
I just wonder how much 12 to 15 pitches does that.
It is also, though, how these pitchers are being developed now to where they're not going 100 pitches in the minor leagues.
Let's get you a lot of rest, baby. You're off to the All-Star break.
So, like, I don't think you want him in a position to where this guy has probably never threw 100 pitches in a minor league game. He did at LSU, I'm sure. But, man, that's all of a sudden, like, that's putting your arm in territory
I understand the thing. I mean, he's...
In 3 years, I don't think that they would hesitate. They wouldn't hesitate in 3 years.
He's going
to
have Tommy
John. But right now, they're not going to.
The odds are he's going to have Tommy John.
Well, they all do.
just what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. Have it. So, yeah, let's get it going.
You want to do it now?
Let's get it.
No,
Damn it, man.
You can't do it in July. You got to do it in like after the season. So you don't have to miss two seasons after this.
Text line coming in. Show me the stat that says the next pitch after 100 causes significantly more damage.
I'm not telling. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm telling you how teams are approaching these guys.
All right, let's talk to our guy, Roflo. We'll get his thoughts on this Skeens thing. If they did the right thing, if he would have done it. One of the real stars of the game. I wonder what he thinks about Shohei Ohtani's little celebration. We'll get to him, his thoughts, and everything with the Astros coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Clint is out. Adam Spolane is rolling with us today, as we said. You can catch him out. Catch him in a lot of spaces here on Sports Radio 610 as he covers all of the Houston area teams. Not only put you on, I don't know how often you're out at the Dash or Dynamo games, but I mean, you do your thing there. I don't know. I'll put you out there.
So many hours in the day here, Ron.
Only so many hours. He certainly is doing great work with the Texans. Sure, he will be out there at training camp getting all the news and notes, obviously, with the Astros as he was there last night and the Rockets. Check out his H-Town Hoops podcast. Him and B. Scott do a great job there. By the way, they did win that game. They were able to win that game. The Pirates, as old Paul Skeens, who is becoming one of the kind of the sensations this year thus far, made the All-Star game as a rookie, 11 starts. He pitched 7 no-hit innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk. They pulled him after a 6-pitch 7th inning, and he was at 99 pitches. But they did get the win. It was 1-0, too, so this was tight. It's one of those impressive tight games for everybody. They immediately loaded the bases and gave up 2 hits in the next inning, in the 8th inning, But they held it down for him. He's 6-0. Good for him. Good for him, Paulie.
He's got a good life.
Say, Livy, that's where he's going home to. Good for him. All right.
I was pitching to the Air Force 2 years ago.
Was he?
Yeah.
Good for him. Then he slides to LSU and does his thing. All right. Hopefully we'll hear from Robert Flores, our guy, MLB Network. We'll look to get with him. I did want to talk to him about this, but sure, we can have this conversation because I am wondering this. Clearly, right, Dana Brown has spoken and made it clear that starting pitching is a priority. Hell, everybody knows it, right? And now when you see the surprise of nobody, the setback to Lance McCullers, that is something that if that was a direction they were looking to go to, that's up in the air. But we know that he has talked about starting pitching. It's something that they're going to target. My question to you and to people, and you can jump in on this, 713-572-4610, Adam, Tyler, Cheryl, anybody working on this, you can jump in on this. We know he's looking for starting pitching. And the question for me is, do you trust the Astros' top 4 starters? And that is when they're right, Justin Verlander, however you put it, Justin Verlander, Ronel Blanco, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, those 4. each one of them. Justin Verlander, the best pitcher of this generation. I will argue anybody to the hills if you want to put Clayton Kershaw in front of him. I will argue that one down. Justin Verlander, to me, the best pitcher of the generation.
Justin Verlander!
Ace, you know about Justin, even at his age. Framber Valdez, been up and down, but honestly, in his time, more times than not, he has been a big-money postseason pitcher. Hunter Brown's the reigning AL Pitcher of the Month. Ronel Blanco has been the biggest surprise, the most important player in the first half, and has been their best pitcher in this first half. So he has been fantastic, 9-3 ERA in the 2.5s. Those four, when you say it like that, are impressive. My question to you, do you trust that those four starters can get them to the postseason and make a run to the postseason? Do you trust, and I mean everything that goes into those guys, do you trust those guys to get you there to the postseason and make a run in the playoffs in a space where you're like, hey, I don't need to add something over them. Maybe I need to add something, but not a top four level starter. Do you trust their four starters?
No. Yeah. Justin Verlander hadn't pitched in a month.
He's got this thing seasoned at the neck and whatever.
June 9th was the last time that he's pitched in a game, and it's not like he's right around the corner. I mean, he still hasn't thrown off a mound during this whole stretch. So I don't know when he's coming back. Framber Valdez, I trust. Hunter Brown, it's been a really good month, but I still need to see more than a really good month out of him. But he has shown signs that he is real, and he is the guy that they thought they were getting. And with Ronel Blanco, he is heading into uncharted territory for him. And he's over 100 innings. He has never thrown 125 innings in a season before. So the idea that he is going to be able to maintain this level through August and September and then maybe October, I don't know, just because he's never had to do it before. So they absolutely need to add starting. And then you're also trusting these guys to stay healthy. And guess what?
And that's why I said all of it.
Yes. And here's the thing. Starting pitchers don't stay healthy. And you've seen it with this team where they have had a lot of trouble keeping guys healthy. Verlander's on the IL for his second time. Framber's been on the IL once this season already. And then again, Blanco heading into uncharted territory. Yeah.
All right, let's bring Rove Flo in this conversation. Robert Flores, MLB Network, and catch him every morning on MLB Central every morning on MLB Network. Rove Flo, I posed this question to Adam. Adam is in for Clint as he covers the Astros here at Sports Radio 610. Do you trust the Astros' top four guys to get them to the postseason and to make a run in the postseason? Because to me, that determines what type of starter Dana Brown needs to go and get.
Well, trust is a very big word. First of all, as Adam mentioned, all the injuries, and I think a larger discussion needs to be had about how starting pitchers are being trained, how they're being developed. But that's a much larger conversation. That's an industry-wide conversation, obviously, maybe for another show. But I believe they are a starter shy. I believe they're an arm shy in the bullpen. McCullers, Garcia coming back, that's great. That's a big boost. I view those two players as basically one guy. I think it's unfair to expect, for them to take on a regular workload, especially to a certain extent, McCullers, who's dealt with so many injuries in recent years. So Garcia coming back, Tommy John, Hunter Brown. I think Hunter Brown's emergence has been a really big boost for this team. I think I would rank that one right below Ronel Blanco's emergence for the importance of what it has meant for this team's run, this recent run, the recent turnaround. But I still think they're an arm shy in the rotation. I just don't know. Here's my question. What do they have to offer other teams to get an impact starter? Because do you consider Eric Fetty an impact starter? Do you consider Jack Flaherty an impact starter? Yeah. Because I think that's the level that the Astros are looking at, unless I'm reading the room wrong.
And they don't seem like guys that jump in front of the four guys that we're thinking of, right? Like Hunter Brown, Blanco, or especially where Jack Flaherty is, maybe a couple of years ago, but not at this point. So it seems like they need.
Would you put Eric Fetty over? Would you say start Eric Fetty over Spencer Arrighetti in game four of a playoff series?
Yes, I probably would, just because it's been a long season for Arrighetti, a longer season than he's ever experienced before. I think their top four, I think, is fine. Yeah. But I think the big thing that they have to worry about is, are they overusing Blanco, especially, just because he's never gone through this type of a season before. So if they're able to add a little bit of depth to the starting rotation, and then you can give Blanco a little bit of a spell to where maybe he gets a couple of extra days in between starts a few times this season, I think that helps kind of prolong his year. So I don't I don't think that they should be going after like the big fish when it comes to the trade market. Just give yourself some depth so that you have more than four starters basically on the roster, because they just went through two turns in the rotation going with a bullpen game. Like, you can't do that.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think you're right. I think that where the Astros are at, what the market looks like league-wide right now, it's a seller's market, right? There's so many teams that are A, in the hunt, and B, looking for pitching, that it is a seller's market. So with where the Astros are at in terms of both where their system is, I think the best that they can hope for, like I said, is an Eric Fetty, is a Jack Flaherty, give me another name, some other middle of the rotation, maybe a Chris Bassett from the Toronto Blue Jays, should the Blue Jays decide to sell at the deadline. I don't think they have the prospect capital to go get an impact starter, say a Kevin Gausman, if the Blue Jays decide to sell, or even a I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head.
Well, I can give you a name, and this is not a name that people will think about, but there are dumb teams. There are dumb teams in Major League Baseball, and I think teams know who the dumb teams are. And listen, Ryan Feltner is not a name that's going to jump off the page with anybody, but the Rockies are not one of the smart teams. And Ryan Feltner is a guy who has got a lot of ability. He's not used properly by the Rockies. And that's a guy that I think you can go pick off. And that's a guy that you can go, who's got a lot of club control left, and he's got the ability to, you get him into your program, you can really start to see some results out of him. And he's not somebody who costs you a lot. So the big thing that I think they need to look at, go around, look at the dumb teams, and everybody knows who the dumb teams are, and look at guys that maybe aren't being used properly. Go look at the peripherals.
Yeah.
Go look at the peripherals for those types of teams, for pitchers that are on those rosters. And especially if they have club control, like, that matters, because you look at this rotation going past 2024, it's unlikely Justin Verlander is back next season. You have multiple pitchers who are coming back from Tommy John surgery this year. So, I mean, like, they need to start thinking about guys that can help them, not just the rest of this season, 100%. But next season as well. So that's why,
100%.
I've known Ryan Feltner for a long time. He's really starting to pitch well for the Rockies right now. And they've got some pitchers that are coming back off the IL with Marquez and with Senzatella, and Ryan Rollison might be getting healthy. But that's a guy who is probably undervalued in that organization that I'm going after right now.
And, Joe, I'm going to give you another one. He's not necessarily viewed as a starter. He was a starter at one point. Michael Kopech for the Chicago White Sox. I'm not sure what it's going to cost to get him. His numbers haven't been great, but I think a lot of the numbers, the ERA especially, has been inflated by maybe a couple of bad outings. He did just have I think he just had an immaculate inning a couple of nights ago, if not last night. So, you know, Michael Kopech, Nick Martinez, they're going to have to be really creative.
Yes, resourceful.
They can't go after a Verlander this year like they did.
And I don't know that there is one. Garrett Crochet is a name that a lot of people have. Hey, what about him? He is unbelievable. He's excellent. But he's got kind of a similar situation. He's pitching it with innings that he's never pitched before, being a converted reliever. So I think with years of control left on his contract, I think it's going to cost too much for the Astros to get into that sweepstakes. So like what we're talking about, these are the kind of names, Feltner, Bassett, Fetty, Flaherty. Those are the kind of names you can kind of expect that I think the Astros will be on. As far as first base, I know Astros Twitter, a lot of them were, hey, what about Vlad Jr.? Forget it. It's not happening. One, we don't know if the Blue Jays are even sellers. Two, the Astros don't have the prospect capital to get that done.
Yeah, that's not happening. Before we get you out of here, Roflo, I knew as soon as I came forth with this take, I was going to get crushed by people. But I'm just going to be honest, and I know you deal with this when you're looking at the entirety of the league.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed that it's been 2018, 2021, 22, and 24. In three of those years, Jose Altuve has been voted in by the fans, and he has skipped all of those All-Star games. And he is one of the best players in baseball, an ambassador. Not just skip it, man, he don't even attend. I am disappointed that he is just skipping these All-Star games and not at least being an ambassador for the sport out there.
Now, forgive me, as he said he's not playing in this year's game?
Yes. Yeah, he announced it a right hand that he will play all the games leading up to the All-Star game and all the games after, like he did last a couple.
Now I can see your point. However, in this most recent, we're talking this year, I did see Julia Morales, her tweet, it may have been a couple of nights ago, that his hand was visibly black and blue. That was something she tweeted a couple of days ago, and that he mentioned he was still dealing with some soreness. So if that's the case, I'm not going to fault him for that. As far as the other years, I can see your point. I don't recall what the circumstances were of his decision for those years. But for this year, I could definitely see him saying, "Hey, I want to chill at home for a few days," and especially if he's still dealing with some soreness and pain in that hand.
All right, Roflo, man, we appreciate you, man, and get yourself to the All-Star break. That'll be fun, as well as we'll continue to watch you on MLB Central every weekday morning, and we always love it when you get to kind of chop it up with us.
Hey, I appreciate that. Two things: one, MLB Network, we're going to be wall-to-wall coverage from Arlington starting on in earnest over the weekend. We got our futures game Saturday in the afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Houston, 3 o'clock Houston time. And then lastly, I know a lot of people are still dealing with the effects of the storm there. I know a lot of friends that are still dealing with it. So hang in there, guys. I'm thinking of you guys, and I hope everyone gets their power back on and gets back to normal very soon.
Appreciate it. That's Robert Flores, MLB Network. Coming up, Dirty's Daily. We will hold it down for him. And one of his favorite conversations last year, we got to discuss it because they are talking like they always do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Cal is a kick-ass racquetball player.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're able to win that game. The Pirates, as old Paul Skeens, who is becoming one of the kind of the sensations this year thus far, made the All-Star game as a rookie, 11 starts. He pitched 7 no-hit innings, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk. They pulled him after a 6-pitch 7th inning, and he was at 99 pitches. And but they did get the win. It was 1-0, too, so this was tight. It's one of those impressive tight games for everybody. They immediately loaded the bases and gave up 2 hits in the next inning, in the 8th inning, But they held it down for him. He's 6-0. Good for him. Good for him, Paulie.
He's got a good life.
Say, Livy, that's where he's going home to. Good for him. All right.
I was pitching to the Air Force 2 years ago.
Was he?
Yeah.
Good for him. Then he slides to LSU and does his thing. All right. Hopefully we'll hear from Robert Flores, our guy, MLB Network. We'll look to get with him. I did want to talk to him about this, but sure, we can. We can have this conversation, because I am wondering this. Clearly, right, Dana Brown has spoken and made it clear that starting pitching is a priority. Hell, everybody knows it, right? And now when you see the surprise of nobody, the setback to Lance McCullers, that is something that if that was a direction they were looking to go to, that's up in the air. But we know that he has talked about starting pitching. It's something that they're going to target. My question to you and to people, and you can jump in on this, 713-572-4610. Adam, Tyler, Cheryl, anybody working on this, you can jump in on this. We know he's looking for starting pitching. And the question for me is, do you trust the Astros' top 4 starters? And that is when they're right, Justin Verlander, however you put it, Justin Verlander, Ronel Blanco, Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, those 4, each one of them. Justin Verlander, the best pitcher of this generation. I will argue anybody to the hills. If you want to put Clayton Kershaw in front of him, I will argue that one down. Justin Verlander, to me, the best pitcher of the generation.
Justin Verlander!
Ace, you know about Justin, even at his age. Framber Valdez, been up and down, but honestly, in his time, more times than not, he has been a big-money postseason pitcher. Hunter Brown's the reigning AL Pitcher of the Month. Ronel Blanco has been the biggest surprise, the most important player in the first half, and has been their best pitcher in this first half. So he has been fantastic, 9-3 ERA in the 2.5s. Those 4, when you say it like that, are impressive. My question to you, do you trust that those 4 starters can get them to the postseason and make a run to the postseason? Do you trust, and I mean everything that goes into those guys, do you trust those guys to get you there to the postseason and make a run in the playoffs in a space where you're like, hey, I don't need to add something over them. Maybe I need to add something, but not a top 4 level starter. Do you trust their 4 starters?
No. Yeah. Justin Verlander hadn't pitched in a month.
He's got this thing season of the neck and whatever.
June 9th was the last time that he's pitched in a game, and it's not like he's right around the corner. I mean, he still hasn't thrown off a mound during this whole stretch, so I don't know when he's coming back. Framber Valdez, I trust. Hunter Brown, it's been a really good month, but I still need to see more than a really good month out of him. But he has shown signs that he is real, and he is the guy that they thought they were getting. And with Ronel Blanco, he is heading into uncharted territory for him. And he's over 100 innings. He has never thrown 125 innings in a season before. So the idea that he is going to be able to maintain this level through August and September and then maybe October, I don't know, just because he's never had to do it before. So they absolutely need to add starting. And then you're also trusting these guys to stay healthy. And guess what?
And that's why I said all of it.
Yes. And here's the thing. Starting pitchers don't stay healthy. And you've seen it with this team where they've had a lot of trouble keeping guys healthy. Verlander's on the IL for his second time. Framber's been on the IL once this season already. And then again, Blanco heading into uncharted territory.
Yeah. All right, let's bring RoFlo in this conversation. Robert Flores, MLB Network. You can catch him every morning on MLB Central every morning on MLB Network. RoFlo, I posed this question to Adam. Adam is in for Clint as he covers the Astros here at Sports Radio 610. Do you trust the Astros' top four guys to get them to the postseason and to make a run in the postseason? Because to me, that determines what type of starter Dana Brown needs to go and get.
Well, trust is a very big word. You know, first of all, as Adam mentioned, all the injuries, and I think a larger discussion needs to be had about how starting pitchers are being trained, how they're being developed. But that's a much larger conversation. That's an industry-wide conversation, obviously, maybe for another show. But I believe they are a starter shy. I believe they're an arm shy in the bullpen. McCullers, Garcia coming back, that's great. That's a big boost. I view those two players as basically one guy. I think it's unfair to expect, you know, for them to take on a regular workload, especially to a certain extent, McCullers, who's dealt with so many injuries in recent years. So Garcia coming back, Tommy John, Hunter Brown. I think Hunter Brown's emergence has been a really big boost for this team. I think I would rank that one right below Ronel Blanco's emergence for the importance of what it has meant for this team's run, this recent run, the recent turnaround. But I still think they're an arm shy in the rotation. I just don't know. Here's my question. What do they have to offer other teams to get an impact starter? Because do you consider Eric Fetty an impact starter? Do you consider Jack Flaherty an impact starter? Because I think that's the level that the Astros are looking at, unless I'm reading the room wrong.
And they don't seem like guys that jump in front of the four guys that we're thinking of, right? Like Hunter Brown, Blanco, or especially where Jack Flaherty is, maybe a couple of years ago, but not at this point. So it seems like they need.
Would you put Eric Fetty over? Would you say start Eric Fetty over Spencer Arrighetti in Game 4 of a playoff series?
Yes, I probably would, just because it's been a long season for Arrighetti, a longer season than he's ever experienced before. I think their top four, I think, is fine. Yeah. But I think the big thing that they have to worry about is, are they overusing Blanco, especially, just because he's never gone through this type of a season before? So if they're able to add a little bit of depth to the starting rotation, and then you can give Blanco a little bit of a spell to where maybe he gets a couple of extra days in between starts a few times this season, I think that helps kind of prolong his year. So I don't I don't think that they should be going after like the big fish when it comes to the trade market. Just give yourself some depth so that you have more than four starters basically on the roster, because they just went through two turns in the rotation going with a bullpen game. Like, you can't do that.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think you're right. I think that where the Astros are at, what the market looks like league wide right now, it's a seller's market, right? There's so many teams that are A, in the hunt, and B, looking for pitching, that it is a seller's market. So with where the Astros are at in terms of both where their system is, I think the best that they can hope for, like I said, is an Eric Fetty, is a Jack Flaherty, some other middle of the rotation, maybe a Chris Bassett from the Toronto Blue Jays, should the Blue Jays decide to sell at the deadline. I don't think they have the prospect capital to go get an impact starter, say a Kevin Gausman, if the Blue Jays decide to sell, or even a I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head.
Well, I can give you a name, and this is not a name that people will think about, but there are dumb teams. There are dumb teams in Major League Baseball, and I think teams know who the dumb teams are. And listen, Ryan Feltner is not a name that's going to jump off the page with anybody, but the Rockies are not one of the smart teams. And Ryan Feltner is a guy who has got a lot of ability. He's not used properly by the Rockies. And that's a guy that I think you can go pick off. And that's a guy that you can go who's got a lot of club control left. And he's got the ability to, you get him into your program, you can really start to see some results out of him. And he's not somebody who costs you a lot. So the big thing that I think they need to look at, go around, look at the dumb teams. And everybody knows who the dumb teams are. And look at guys that maybe aren't being used properly. Go look at the peripherals.
Yeah.
Go look at the peripherals for those types of teams, for pitchers that are on those rosters. And especially if they have club control, like, that matters, because you look at this rotation going past 2024. It's unlikely Justin Verlander is back next season. You have multiple pitchers who are coming back from Tommy John surgery this year. So, I mean, like, they need to start thinking about guys that can help them, not just the rest of this season, 100%. But next season as well. So that's why,
100%.
I've known Ryan Feltner for a long time. He's really starting to pitch well for the Rockies right now. And they've got some pitchers that are coming back off the IL with Marquez and with Senzatella, and Ryan Rollison might be getting healthy. But that's a guy who is probably undervalued in that organization that I'm going after right now.
And Joe, I'm going to give you another one. He's not necessarily viewed as a starter. He was a starter at one point. Michael Kopech for the Chicago White Sox. I'm not sure what it's going to cost to get him. His numbers haven't been great, but I think a lot of the numbers, the ERA especially, has been inflated by maybe a couple of bad outings. He did just have I think he just had an immaculate inning a couple of nights ago, if not last night. So, you know, Michael Kopech, Nick Martinez, they're going to have to be really creative.
Yes, resourceful.
They can't go after a Verlander this year.
And I don't know that there is one. Garrett Crochet is a name that a lot of people have. Hey, what about him? He is unbelievable. He's excellent. But he's got kind of a similar situation. He's pitching it with innings that he's never pitched before, being a converted reliever. So I think with years of control left on his contract, I think it's going to cost too much for the Astros to get into that sweepstakes. So like what we're talking about, these are the kind of names, Feltner, Bassett, Fetty, Flaherty. Those are the kind of names you can kind of expect that I think the Astros will be on. As far as first base, I know Astros Twitter, a lot of them were, hey, what about Vlad Jr.? Forget it. It's not happening. One, we don't know if the Blue Jays are even sellers. Two, the Astros don't have the prospect capital to get that done.
Yeah, that's not happening. Before we get you out of here, Roflo, I knew as soon as I came forth with this take, I was going to get crushed by people. But I'm just going to be honest, and I know you deal with this when you're looking at the entirety of the league. I'm disappointed that it's been 2018, 2021, 22, and 24. In three of those years, Jose Altuve has been voted in by the fans, and he has skipped all of those All-Star games. And he is one of the best players in baseball, an ambassador. Not just skip it, man, he don't even attend. I am disappointed that he is just skipping these All-Star games and not at least being an ambassador for the sport out there.
Now, forgive me, has he said he's not playing in this year's game?
Yes. Yeah, he announced it a right hand that he will play all the games leading up to the All-Star game and all the games after, like he did last a couple.
Now I can see your point. However, in this most recent, we're talking this year, I did see Julia Morales, her tweet, it may have been a couple of nights ago, that his hand was visibly black and blue. That was something she tweeted a couple of days ago, and that he mentioned he was still dealing with some soreness. So if that's the case, I'm not going to fault him for that. As far as the other years, I can see your point. I don't recall what the circumstances were of his decision for those years. But for this year, I could definitely see him saying, "Hey, I want to chill at home for a few days," and especially if he's still dealing with some soreness and pain in that hand.
All right, Roflo, man, we appreciate you, man, and get yourself to the All-Star break. That'll be fun, as well as we'll continue to watch you on MLB Central every weekday morning, and we always love it when you you get to kind of chop it up with us.
Hey, I appreciate that. Two things. One, MLB Network, we're going to be wall-to-wall coverage from Arlington starting on in earnest over the weekend. We got our futures game Saturday in the afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Houston, 3 o'clock Houston time. And then lastly, I know a lot of people are still dealing with the effects of the storm there. I know a lot of friends that are still dealing with it. So hang in there, guys. I'm thinking of you guys, and I hope everyone gets their power back on and gets back to normal very soon.
Appreciate it. That's Robert Flores, MLB Network. Coming up, Dirty's Daily. We will hold it down for him. And one of his favorite conversations last year, we got to discuss it because they are doing talking like they always do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Cal is a kick-ass racquetball player.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.